next week, because we know that Jesus died for one reason alone, so that we can eat Peeps. Right? Can you tell? We love them Peeps. So he can come back to life, save us. But what I want to do is take a look at the ordinary people in the story of Jesus' death and his resurrection. In a lot of churches around the world, it's Palm Sunday, where they recognize Jesus coming into Jerusalem. All right, and there are some amazing stories with that. I'm skipping ahead in the story in Mark 14, and we're talking about him in the garden. There are two gardens named in Scripture predominantly, Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane. Both involve death, by the way. And we're joining the story where Jesus has been betrayed. Remember last week, the no-name woman who broke the very expensive jar of perfume over Jesus' head? And they were getting ready for him to die. And so we're continuing that story. Finally today, we're talking about someone that you can relate to. There is a Facebook group that I have mentioned. It's a private Facebook group, so you can't join, of pastors in small churches like ours. And this week, someone said, "Hey, it's Palm Sunday coming up. What are you preaching about?" I'm the only guy that said some naked dude, right? I'm the only one that said, "Oh, I'm preaching about a naked guy." So far, no one has questioned it. But again, the greatest outreach that I think we can have with this is the Men of Jennings Road swimsuit calendar. It's a good time to bring it up again. Look at Doug looking up. Doug's in, Greg's in. Dara wants June and July. January. Oh, it's going to happen. Think about the impact we would make in our community with the Men of Jennings Road swimsuit. People would cry out to God. That's an act of worship. You in? Yes! I like where this is going. There is a dude in our story today that runs away from Jesus naked. Why do we care? Who is this dude? What in the world does this have to do with Jesus dying on a cross? What does it involve? Why is he even mentioned? And what does it have to do with being ordinary? And what does it have to do with Jesus dying on a cross for us? Open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, or do what many of us do, tap that app, open that thing up to Mark 14, and we're going to begin in verse 51. Only two verses, but I've got about an hour's worth of stuff, so be ready. It's not true. So, the two verses is true. A young man wearing nothing but his drawers, wearing nothing but a linen garment, was following Jesus. Already, we see that this guy is teaching us something valuable about Jesus dying on the cross. All we're called to do is follow. Follow. Let me read the verse to you again. Verse 51. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. That's creepy. What's this dude's name, according to the verse? What's his name? Another person that's never named. Do you know how many urban legends there are about this dude? A lot of people, a lot of my colleagues think that it's Mark. And when I say, how can you prove that? They come up with these weird theories, like trying to figure out what the next Avengers movie is all about, right? And it's like, well, that makes no sense. You're just guessing. Young man is what he is mentioned as, so we know that to be 53 years old. Right? Just some young man. That's all that he's mentioned as. You don't have to make a name for yourself to follow Jesus. You don't have to be recognized throughout history as some great person that followed Jesus. You don't have to do that. You just simply have to be you. You simply have to follow, and your story may be told for thousands of years. Just follow Jesus. That's all he was doing, was following. Now, the lie in Christianity what we've made Christianity out to be. It has to be sensational, right? Can I tell you the truth? That's one of the reasons why, as genuine as they are, I'll go to a concert or something and somebody will share a testimony and it's some sensational story and I find myself going, okay. Because I don't have a sensational testimony to tell. And I always find myself going, well, I don't have a story like that. And we begin to believe that it has to be sensational. Do you know how many times when I finally gave my life to Christ and started going to church, I would hear stories of people that would be on a plane or on a bus and they would lead their, you know, the person sitting beside them, they would lead them to Christ, and then I would get on a plane or on a bus and I'm like, this person stinks, you know, and I don't want anything, and then I would feel guilty that I wasn't doing this sensational evangelism for the kingdom. You don't have to. All you got to do is follow Jesus in the moment. That's all you got to do. Don't follow yourself. Don't follow others. Follow him. But why is he in his pajamas? Literally, why is he in his underwears? Good golly, who knows? But I can tell you this. For whatever reason, in the moment, Jesus has already been arrested. Peter has already drawn the sword and amazingly cuts an ear off of a guard. Anybody ever swing a sword at anybody? Don't raise your hand yet, because I do not want to be called to the witness stand. Tell me later. So everybody always talks about, that's pretty amazing marksmanship out of Peter to cut some dude's ear off. He's a fisherman. He probably pulled that sword and went, ah! And just accidentally cut the ear off, right? And Jesus, whoop, puts it back on, and then this happens. Why is he in his pajamas? I don't know, but I can tell you this. I have had plenty of people tell me that because they don't have something, they can't follow Jesus. I don't have the right clothes to wear. I don't have money. Well, if you only knew, Pastor, what I've done in my life, which is, I love that moment because I'm like, let's race. You tell me what you've done, I'll tell you what I've done. And then I'm going to tell you about Jesus, who cleansed me of that, right? We always look for these excuses of why we can't follow Jesus the way that other people do. Not this guy. He didn't worry about what he was wearing, didn't worry about what time of day it was. He just followed. Whatever excuse you've come up with in your life that you can't follow Jesus because, get rid of it. This is not encouraging you to come in your underwear to church next week. We've done pajamas. All right, here's something that you're going to have to do to follow Jesus fully. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. All right, so here we go. The next part of verse 51. It's not very far or long. When they seized him. Who seized him? Scroll back or turn back to verse 43. This is Jesus as he's talking to his disciples. Just as he was speaking, Jesus was. Judas, there's a guy. One of the 12 appeared. Poof. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs. Sent from who? Church leaders. Man, churches love to kill Jesus. Just love to shut him down. Chief priests, teachers of law, and the elders. I want to be furious at them in the moment for killing Jesus, for arresting him. And then I remind myself that I would probably be in that crowd, or I would be one of the church leaders in the day that would send them to arrest Jesus, because he's threatening my religion. He's threatening what I have turned God into and God's word into. And when that feels threatened, we want to put Jesus in a box. We want to put Jesus in our emotional cell. Right? I would probably be one of those, because I'm a sinner. We all are. And so I want to knock these guys really badly. But then my own sin, my own guilt grabs a hold of me. But then I come and we do communion and I remind myself. Weren't the videos amazing this morning? Remind myself that he can take my sin. He can cleanse me of it. I can be new again. I don't have to be seized by fear, shame, or guilt. But it's a fight. I constantly have to fight against these things that want to grab a hold of me and pull me back or keep me in the moment, keep me from being who God intends me to be. This sin addiction that I have that wants to grab a hold of me and go, oh, shame on you. Right? Or that constant fight that a lot of pastors go through, and I do too. I'm not doing enough. I'm not being enough. I'm not. And some of you may even agree with those. And then I run with that in my head. And then I remember that he is enough. Am I pleasing God? Am I sharing him with others through my weakness? There's no need to be seized by fear and shame and guilt. But you fight to remember that you can be seized by God's love, his plan for you, his purpose for you. So that in verse 52, if you need to run away, flee, if you have to. If you wake up in the moment, you're like, this is the wrong crowd that I'm in. I got to get out. Right? I got to get out. It's me texting my nephew last night, as I know that he wanted to go to a party, and I'm like, whose house? Who are you going with? And he mentioned two names, and one of those names, we went, you know, and we just began asking questions and questions and questions, and then I finally said, because he didn't, you know, obviously drive there himself, I said, if you need an out, call me. Sometimes we just have to flee. Verse 52, he fled naked. There we go. All right, everybody, watch the video. Everybody looked. There's no video. He fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Sometimes the most extraordinary thing we can do for the kingdom is to run. Run away. Leave everything that you have behind. The only thing that you have with you, my clothes, see ya. Strippers for Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about, right? Leave everything behind. Literally everything that you think you need. Leave it behind. Leave it behind. Flee. Run away. Naked. There is this concept in the New Testament that when we seek God, when we seek Jesus, when we're ashamed of our past, when we're overcome by our sins, and we hand all that over to him, Scripture tells us that we will be clothed in his righteousness. So all this bad stuff that you think that you're ashamed of, you're afraid of, everything else, and you want to leave it behind, but all of a sudden you're like, I'm naked. God's going, I got you. Got an outfit for you. My son wears it. And you're clothed in his righteousness if you choose to flee. He's got you covered. What is it in your life you need to run away from? What is it that wants to grab you, that wants to seize you, that wants to hammer on you, that wants to make you suffer? What is it that it's time that you go, I've got to fight and I've got to run away from this and I will be clothed in his righteousness? This chapter, the way that Mark does his gospel, I told you, it's the hyperactive gospel. The zoom, 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 zoom. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. and he just zoom hits it. Jesus has gone to the garden. The guys have fallen asleep on him. He asked them to do one thing, to just stay awake, keep watch. They don't. We don't. He's betrayed. He's arrested. And this is where I kind of come in, because when I tell you to flee, the worst part of this story is Jesus finds himself completely alone. Utterly, completely alone. When people had the opportunity to say, I'm a follower of his, I'm right there with him. I'm on his side. They ran away. It's so easy for us to say shame on them when it's shame on us. Probably within a half an hour of us leaving here, we're probably going to betray him in some way or another. Throughout this week, we're probably going to betray him in some way or another. I am going to betray him in some way or another. I know it. I'm going to run away from him into the very thing that I probably shouldn't run to. There are things in our lives that we've got to run away from, but it's toward him. Don't let this be the week that you just give in again. You give in again. You don't think about it. He died for our sins, and he understands that we're recovering sinners, that we're addicted to sin. He gets that. But guys, it's time that we begin running to Jesus, being willing to be associated with him, because these are nasty times, right? These tough times. And I am constantly reminded I represent him as a pastor, as a believer. And that's getting harder and harder to do. Let's decide this week that the thing that we're going to run to is him. We're going to run to grace. We're going to recognize the fact that he died on that cross for us. There's a reason we call it Good Friday, right? Let's stand together and sing our closing song. And I want to encourage you to run to him this morning. Whatever it is you need to leave behind, run up here. Let us love on you. Let us love with you. And just give all that nasty stuff to him. Let's sing out.
Crucified, you've called me out of death. gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered at the cross. You beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I'm sweetly broken.
God, thank you so much for your grace. I think the word in the song that it's used, it's undeserved. I know that you don't think so, that you want to give us grace. Man, we don't deserve it. Help us to move beyond those feelings of guilt and shame that cause us to just run away from you instead of to you. May we be as sold out as this song claims we want to be. And on this day that many churches recognize your son coming into Jerusalem and being recognized as a king, it wouldn't last long. We praise you for the gift that you've given us of grace through him. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.